Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The first reading today is from Exodus 20. God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slaves, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Here ends the reading.
Their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Please be seated. Being that I'm still relatively new here, I get the privilege and a little bit of grace in preaching on maybe some of the easy things like the Ten Commandments, right? And this reading from Exodus 20 is exactly that, and I'm sure most of you are at least vaguely familiar with the Ten Commandments, even if maybe none of you have them memorized by heart. Maybe some of you do. These Ten Commandments, they are the chief laws that are used to guide the Israelite people to be in right relationship with God and with one another. They are effectively a set of boundaries that are meant to protect the dignities of God and of neighbor. They are meant to be a guide for us that give life. Jewish people for years have celebrated the giving of the Ten Commandments and still hold them in high regard. On the other hand, in our legalistic society, somewhere down the line, Christians have stopped celebrating these commandments, and instead, we view them as some burdensome laws that we have to memorize and learn just to get through confirmation. Some Christians have gone further in sucking all of the joy out of the commandments by enforcing them so ruthlessly with their children that those children are led to believe that they are going to hell for disobeying mother and father even once, as the fourth commandment calls for. But there is more to these commandments than using them to simply manipulate one another into acting the way we want them to act. When we view the Bible as a simple book on morality, rather than taking the whole thing in context with our lives, then we miss the point. When we cherry-pick that which affirms only our own beliefs on how one should act, then we're in trouble. Moses spent 40 days and nights on the mountain talking with God. Some of you have a hard time getting through 10 minutes. The next 11 chapters goes into further details elaborating on these laws, even having additional laws and guidelines such as how a priest should dress. I don't follow those, clearly. And also how to respond to those who break these laws, most of the responses being to put one to death. Now, after those 40 days, Moses comes down the mountain to find his own brother Aaron, one who is supposed to be one of these ordained priests by God, helped build a golden calf and altar to celebrate, you know, those other gods that brought them out of Egypt. In what they interpreted as God's absence in the long disappearance of Moses, they turned to idols over faithfulness in God. To this, God and Moses answered in anger, and some 3,000 people were killed, showing us a sign that the price of sin is death. This isn't altogether different from what Jesus faces in the temple. It's not clear exactly why Jesus was so angry about them selling in the temple. But what most have come to conclude is that at least part of Jesus' anger stems from these money changers profaning the temple, where people came to worship God, a place where the love of God was to be accessible and widely felt by all who wanted to come and worship, was being profaned by those who were instead trying to sell this love to those as they entered, a people who placed profit over God, who had turned money into their God with a small g, idol worship that harms relationship with God and others, and that we have learned is sinful. And as I said, the price of sin isn't just these doves or these sheep or cattle, but death. But this is exactly the death that Jesus Christ came to free us from, knowing that we cannot free ourselves from that which separates us from God. Luther would say that we do not study and follow the Ten Commandments as a way of getting ourselves into heaven and receiving eternal life. Jesus has already done that. But instead, we follow the commandments out of the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ first, in this gift of life that has been given to all people. While idol worship no longer means that you will be put to the sword, think God, like the ancient Israelites were, it is still important to keep in mind what it is we are putting before God, or even replacing with God. Is it money, like those who are in the temple? Is it greed? Are we placing ourselves before God, our own comforts, and ignoring the lack of care that has been shown to our neighbors? It's easy, right, to place things before God. To keep from doing this, it would mean placing God at the center of our lives, to where everything we do is out of faith rather than out of comfort. Most of us don't live this way. We don't, frankly, have the time or the energy in today's society. When we get our paychecks, we aren't thinking about God or the way we can use it to help another person. We think instead about the work that we did to earn this money. When we go to the store, we as a society don't think about how we can use our purchasing power to support sustainable and ethical products. We look for what's cheapest. And when we finally get that day off, we don't think about giving our bodies rest because it's commanded by God. But we think about how we're just so dang tired and happy we finally get the time to rest. To think in this way and recenter all that we do on God takes a lot of time, takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot, and I mean a lot, of practice. But it can be so incredibly life-giving when we work towards turning our lives into worship rather than just an hour on Sunday morning. I was just telling some folks last week this story, but I had a professor in seminary that once said that there must be some sort of force field in the doorways of a church. When people come into the church, they have this piece of paper with faith written on it. They maybe wear it right on their forehead and they proudly display it. While they're in church, singing their hymns, praying their prayers, and reciting their creeds in worship of God, they have that faith out the whole time. But something funny happens when they walk through this force field. We take this piece of paper and we fold it up and we put it in our back pocket. And then we forget about it. We take our pants off and we throw them in the wash and goes through the wash with our pants. And we all know what happens when paper goes through the wash. Not that I've ever done that. And then when we come back to the building, we suddenly remember this piece of paper in our back pocket. And we hold it back out, ignoring the faded markings from having gone through the wash or the fold marks from having hidden it away. And we once again proudly display it like it's always been there. Folks, God cannot be hidden away, and neither should our faith. God promises through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to always be with us. God is going before us to set our path and behind us to keep us moving forward. In the resurrection of Christ, we know that this will never change, even when we continue to mess up and place just about everything before God. That doesn't mean we stop trying to reorient our lives, to place Jesus Christ in a constant state of worship rather than occasional praise. Dearest siblings in Christ, you are being loved by God, even when the love of God seems so far away. You are being held by Christ, even when the mountain journey goes on for just a little too long. You are being guided by the Holy Spirit of God, even when we ignore all of the signs that tell us where to go. You are being loved, even when you feel unloved. You have been sealed and marked with the sign of Jesus Christ forever, even when you try to hide that sign away in your back pocket. Know that you are Christ's. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church, or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.